The Money Show. The Markets.
Chris Stewart at 91. Why did markets do what they did today? A 2% gain. Astonishing.
Yeah, Bruce. Well, I guess the starting point's got something to do with it. You know, we are still off 4%, and we're only 2 and a bit months into the year. So let's not cheer too much the fact that we had a green day or a black day today, because we haven't had many of them of late, and markets can't go down every day. So that's part of it. Part of it is there's a particular rally going on in the gold price. We've seen gold price breaking out into all-time uncharted territory, taking some of the precious metals with it. That's largely, I think, today in response to further commentary from Jerome Powell, who stood up and said that, yes, we will cut rates this year. Now, I think everybody knows he's going to cut rates this year, but the fact that he says it seems to bring some cheer to markets. So that got things going. A little bit of a risk on emerging markets, risk on type rallies, got the currency going a little bit stronger. And, you know, we've seen a good, fairly broad-based bounce today. There's not too many stocks that are down on, you know, in any significant order of magnitude today, and there's quite a few that are up quite nicely. But you know, we've got to take it in context, Bruce. Equities haven't been a particularly favored place to be in the domestic market, you know, we're still, as I said, in significant negative territory year to date, and continuing to lag global markets.
Jerome Powell saying it's more important to get it right than to do it fast. And that implies to me that there's not a rate cut coming in the first half of this year, because people are going to be going mad recently about talking about, speculating about first half rate cuts. This seems to kick it down the road again.
Yeah, well, I mean, not necessarily today. I've read a few commentaries around, you know, his testimony today, and generally speaking, the consensus is that it was slightly dovish. But, you know, I agree. If you see what's happened year to date, there was significant rate cuts being discounted by the end of last year, significant rate cuts being discounted as early as right now, essentially. And I think most of those have been pushed out to, at best, just before mid-year. And it's not entirely impossible that they get pushed out to slightly after mid-year. And domestically, I think we were probably originally expecting to see rate cuts as early as March. And now I would imagine the smart money is probably telling you you see the first rate cut in July, and maybe even you only see the first rate cut in September. So it is taking longer for rate cuts to come through. But I think he's probably correct, and you need to get it right before you move, because the danger of cutting rates too early and then seeing inflation become more persistent than you hoped, or remaining more persistent than you hoped, and then, you know, having to backtrack on that particular rate decision is far more damaging than missing it by a month or two in terms of the perfection of that decision. However, you know, there's a lot of lagging indicators out there. So, you know, you won't know you've waited too long to cut rates until it's too late. Why? Exactly. Because the impact of higher rates on the economy takes some time to manifest. So, it, you know, it's, being a central banker is not an easy task. And I think being a central banker at the biggest central bank in the world is an even more difficult task still.
Yeah, our business confidence numbers are understandably dwindling. I mean, we're in this per capita recession that Martin Ackerman at Citadel refers to. We saw the alleged growth number. I call it an alleged growth number because I don't think 0.6% is really growth. We chatted to the governor last night, and he was saying to us he's in no hurry to cut interest rates at all. And so it's against this backdrop where we're just not going to get the growth. Whereas other parts of the world, the UK budget, they've given some tax cuts, tiny tax cuts, but tax cuts never the less. And, you know, maybe that was a bit of stimulus on the day. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it might have been. I mean, we did see a couple of data points. I think we saw some European retail sales that were indicating a smidgen of growth, but better than expected. We've seen a fairly consumer-friendly budget coming out of the UK. I think there was commentary that inflation will fall back within the 2% band fairly soon. I can't remember the exact wording, but it did seem to be quite dovish on that front, at the same time as, you know, growth expectations were being revised upwards. So, you know, the sort of business confidence numbers we're seeing and the sort of you know, whether it was a we avoided a technical recession, whoopee. But as you say, GDP growth is extremely weak. And a lot of that is self-inflicted and idiosyncratic to South Africa, which is why we're not really catching today, notwithstanding. We're not really catching a sort of emerging market bid, either in risk assets here or in terms of the currency. And that's because people are looking at South Africa and saying, well, you know, if the world does return to growth, there's certainly better ways to play that and better places to play that than South Africa, due to, you know, a whole lot of extremely well-publicized infrastructure own goals that we've scored, whether it be electricity, whether it be transport rail infrastructure. That's putting a major cap on growth. And then we've got the uncertainty of an election. And again, we're not alone in that regard globally, but we've probably got more fractious pre-electioneering noise here than we will have in some of the other jurisdictions where there's elections to take place. So, you know, it's hardly surprising that we're not the toast of the town.
No, it's not, unfortunately. And I mean, you know, 91 is very dependent on three countries having elections this year. South Africa, big assets in South Africa, big assets in the United Kingdom. And of course, the United States, where there's growth happening. I've got your boss, by the way, on as our shapeshifter later on this evening. Is there anything I shouldn't ask him?
No. He'll answer anything. You just need to tell him I'm doing a very good job, Bruce, please.
Okay, right. Well, we'll repeat that. I'll send him a message. Chris Stewart, thank you very much indeed. Chris Stewart is a portfolio manager at 91. His boss, Hendrik Tutoi, is our shapeshifter, coincidentally, this evening, coming up in an hour from now.